This is the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are going to let the good times roll here on Friday on Freddie and Harry. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. The guys are out this afternoon, but former All-Pro Chad Brown is in. So is two-time radio broadcast champion Jonathan Zaslow.
Yes,
he's in as well. I'm not entirely making that up. He does actually have rings for being a Heat broadcaster at one point. It's a little Bobo that they give the... All the media.
Nothing Bobo about those diamonds, tell you what.
Bobo. Smaller diamonds, Chad. Don't be impressed. I think that the whole ring is quite a bit smaller that they give to the staff than the actual players.
Smaller fingers, you know?
That's a good point out of you. Amber Wilson as well, filling in for the guys. We've got a lot of ground to cover today, guys. We got to get everybody ready for the second round of the NFL draft. The Lakers are in an 0-3 hole after last night. Joel Embiid, he revealed a health battle while battling all kinds of bodies on that basketball court last night as well. We will get to all of that and more, but first we got to find out what's the main thing.
The main thing, 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 the main thing.
The main thing with Freddie and Harry.
And the main thing is that the NFL draft, it went pretty much according to plan for the first seven picks of that draft. There was no wild trades. The picks were what, frankly, a whole lot of mock drafts had, like huge win for mock drafts through pick seven, where they were right all over the place. Mel Mock 1.0 might have been right, frankly. Nevertheless, needing Mel Mock, you know, like 100 and whatever that we end up getting right before the draft. And so it was a win in terms of predictions right up until the Atlanta Falcons made their pick. And then the Atlanta Falcons took Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick, and the world was shocked. Jonathan Zaslow, was this a good move by Atlanta?
I loved it. The second that the pick came up on the screen, I'm like, whoa, I love that move. All right. They identified the player that they wanted. They didn't care about the criticism that was going to follow, and they went and grabbed the quarterback. I love it because they're already a favorite, I think most of us would say, to win the NFC South, right? Like, the backlash is going to be, oh, but they didn't pick up a player that's going to help them win right now. Okay, I thought they were already the favorite in the NFC South. I thought they were already the favorite to win that division once they signed Kirk Cousins. What's changed? I'll tell you what's changed. What's changed is now they have a succession plan to a quarterback who is on the older side and coming off of a major Achilles injury. Now they have a quarterback, or at least they have two quarterbacks that in some fashion are going to carry them, they believe, at that position for maybe the next 10 to 12 years. There's also nothing wrong with a quarterback, a rookie quarterback, sitting and learning for a year or two. I mean, you could do a lot worse than sitting and learning behind Kirk Cousins. I know he's not won a Super Bowl, but he's done a heck of a lot of winning so far in his career. You can learn more from Kirk Cousins than just, hey, how to be financially relevant in the National Football League. He's done a tremendous job with the bank account, but he knows how to play that position also. I love what the Falcons did selecting their quarterback of the future and not having to rush him into action for at least a couple of years. Love it.
Chad, how do you feel about this?
I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all whatsoever. You're telling the players in the locker room that who are all on a one-year essentially contract, because all NFL contracts are one-year contracts, that we are already so good that we don't need to improve our football team. You guys have to bear the burden of this draft pick that could happen that may not be able to contribute in any way. Arthur Smith only lasted 3 years as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Raheem Morris might not be the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons when Michael Penix hits the field. It's too far forward thinking for a team that still has holes that need to be filled. They're one of the worst pass rushing teams in the NFL, not just last season, but the last five or six seasons in a row. There were clearly pass rushers available at that slot. They could have also picked up Michael Penix much later in the draft. So not only do I not like the plan, I didn't like where they picked the guy. So there's multiple reasons why I don't like this particular pick. And in the end, I don't think it moves them forward for the next couple of years. I don't think you can look at first-round picks through that lens unless there's a situation like the Packers had with Aaron Rodgers, where he was having dalliances with retirement. Am I going to keep playing? Am I not going to play? That was a different deal than what's happening with Kirk Cousins, who just signed a four-year, $180 million deal. So I'm not love with the pick, not where the pick was made. And again, if this was your guy, you could have gotten him much later in the draft.
So Chad, there are a couple things, guys, that I would like to counter all of that with. The first that I would say is, obviously, with that first-round pick, they select Michael Penix, who presumably is not going to help them this year. They could have selected someone who is going to help them this year. But what if they didn't have a first-round pick? I mean, there's six other rounds for teams that don't have a first-round pick. You know, we don't get through that first round and say, wow, they didn't have a chance to improve their team this year. I mean, there are other ways to improve the team. You have a lot of other picks. And the second
There's other pass rushers in this draft. They didn't all go last night. Yeah. I think four went last night, right? They didn't all go. I mean, they're probably going to take a guy out of Utah tonight in the second round. So there are other ways for them to address the defense. I do tend to agree with that there. People are acting like this draft is over for the Falcons already.
But maybe people get confused because the draft ended last night after the first round. Like, hey, I guess the draft's over. Now there's like three more days of the draft. But the second part that I would say is, as far as you could have gotten Penix later on, that could very well be true. I mean, in all the mocks that we saw leading up to yesterday, Penix was going much later than number eight. But I think sometimes we have to give, a little bit of the benefit of the doubt to guys who run these organizations. And how are we to know that the Falcons brass wasn't tipped off that, you know what, Penix is about to go with one of these next few picks? Somebody else does like him, even though Mel Kiper didn't think he was going to be selected this high, or Field Yates didn't think he was going to be selected this high. You know, we're getting word now he's going to be gone if we wait anymore. Like, that's totally a possibility, right?
That is totally within the realm of possibility, but the reality is no one had Michael Penix Jr. rated this high. Not any of the draft so-called experts, and I know that's a very inexact way to go about this process, relying upon those folks. But most folks had him later in the first round, if even in the first round. There's a lot of folks who do mock drafts and who are very good at this who didn't have him at all in the first round. So, again, while I understand what you're saying, Jonathan, and I'll give you credit for that, I just honestly feel this is a wasted pick because you did not improve your football team this year one bit.
I'm not sure I deserve any kind of credit there, Amber. It may end up being terrible.
I was just going to say, I don't have to give Jonathan credit. There's no rule you have to give Zaslow credit. I haven't given him credit many, many times throughout our careers together. Bo Nix, he also wasn't in a lot of mocks in terms of a first round. There was a lot of people who thought Bo Nix might not be a first rounder. And then the Broncos went ahead and took him there at number 12. I had no idea that we were going to get six quarterbacks in the first 12. I mean, I was arguing I didn't think that we were going to get six in the first round. Nevertheless, the first 12 picks, which is what we got last night, which was a historic haul in terms of quarterbacks. So if I was the Falcons, I wouldn't feel confident at all that if Penix was my guy and an insurance policy and my future there in Atlanta and I saw a real opportunity, I wouldn't have felt confident at all that I'd be able to still get him a little bit later in this draft. I initially didn't like this pick. Initially, when they were making it,
I had the thought,
come on, Atlanta, go in Dunze, let's go a skill position, let's get Kirk even more help. And then after they made it and I had some time to really consider it, I came around on it, because the reality is this is already a team that's probably going to be competitive just from the very nature of Kirk Cousins being there. And I can't imagine that Kirk Cousins, his decision to go to Atlanta was reliant on the fact that they were going to be able to draft Ndunze, or that they were going to be able to draft one of these other skilled guys. The reality is there are good weapons in Atlanta already. It's not as if Kirk Cousins doesn't have anybody to throw the football to or anybody around him to run the football. Like, he actually does already have good players around him in Atlanta. And so that's one of the attractions, like Zaslow just mentioned. That was one of his attractions to going there to begin with. So this idea that they needed to get Kirk so much help. I think, frankly, it's a bit overstated when they had an opportunity to shore up the quarterback position for the next decade there in Atlanta and take a guy who has an opportunity to sit behind Kirk Cousins for a couple years and develop further. Terry Fontenot, the Falcons general manager, of course, explained why Michael Penix was their pick at eighth.
Being able to add Michael Penix Jr., when you can add a high caliber player like that with his intangibles, those tools, he's a winner. Very, very excited. You don't pass up that opportunity. Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We're very excited about Kirk, very excited about this team. Michael Penix is, we're talking about the future. The draft is, you look at the future and you look at big picture, but we are very excited about that quarterback room. And again, Kirk is our quarterback, but adding Michael Penix is thinking about the future.
Fontenot, silent T there. It goes with the French pronunciation. Didn't sound very French, but there you go. Raheem Morris, he is the Falcons head coach. I pronounced his name correctly.
Not French.
He also discussed why Michael Penix was their pick.
It was pretty simple for us. When you get Kirk Cousins and you talk about short-term winning, you talk about winning right now, which we know we're going to be in a position to do, which we want to be in a position to do. We won't have the ability to be picking this high again with the guy that we got. And these guys go off the board pretty quickly, and we thought it would be important for us to address our future quarterback right now while we're picking this low in these moments and to be able to move forward. You know, fortunately enough with us, we got a Kirk Cousin in the building. We got a guy that can go out there and win football games, and we should be picking high enough. We talked about winning the South. We talked about doing some of these things. That includes going to the playoffs. You just seen six quarterbacks go off the board before the 12th pick of the draft. And we don't want to be picking on it anymore. And Terry's done a nice job of getting us some really good players, some quality players, but we don't want to be back in that position. So let's move forward, think about the future, address that right now.
I think that's a great point by Raheem Morris.
Yeah, I love what he just said. We don't want to be picking there anymore because they picked it. I think it was eighth last year as well, right? I don't have it in front of me, but that's when they took Bijan Robinson. So they take a skilled player last year. They're picking in the top 10. Now in this draft, they're back in the top 10. If you're the Atlanta Falcons, by bringing in Kirk Cousins, hopes that you are nowhere near the top 10 anymore moving forward. So if there's a year for you to go ahead and take a top 10 caliber quarterback, this is probably it. And you're thinking again, I don't need this dude to start this year. I don't even need this dude to start next year. I can get out of this money for Kirk Cousins in a couple years. But during that couple year span, Chad, you can be in a situation where Michael Penix, he gets to sit behind Kirk. He gets to learn. He gets to develop. And it's rare that we don't see that going well in the NFL. We often see the story of the rook that gets thrust into the fire and it doesn't look so good off the bat. But we also have seen a lot of stories like the Jordan Loves of the world, the Aaron Rodgers of the world. Obviously, that's an easy organization to point to where you can say, hey, it works when you let the quarterback sit and learn a little bit. And that's what the Falcons have an opportunity to do here.
There is something to be said for that, but there's also something to be said for the urgency of improving your defense, improving your pass rush. Is Kirk Cousins going to be asked to go out and score 35 points a game if this defense can't hold up their end of the bargain? At some point, you've got to focus on today. This year's team, the NFL, is literally a week-to-week, year-to-year league. You may have projections 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road. From a salary cap perspective, there may be an organizational plan that goes that way. But from a coaching perspective, from a player perspective, it has always been a year-to-year league. So to bring in a second quarterback who then could upset the chemistry of the locker room. The second that Kirk Cousins does not play well, then Michael Penix is going to be asked about in the locker room. Raheem Morris is going to have to answer questions about that. So they've got to come up with a plan to deal with the potential distraction of all this. So I just see a missed opportunity to get bigger, to get better. You've set yourself up for these potential distractions and chemistry issues within the locker room. And again, you did not improve your football team this year. The Falcons have defensive needs that they have not been addressed. And if you go in the second round and third round, as you're talking about, this was the worst team over the last 5 years as far as number of sacks. You're not going to find somebody who's going to light the world on fire with your third round pick who's suddenly going to be the best pass rusher in the league.
You didn't improve your football team this year yet. The draft isn't over yet. We have still an opportunity to do that in Atlanta when you're looking at the second and third rounds in the rest of this draft. But Kirk Cousins' agent, Zaslow, he confirmed that Kirk Cousins was blindsided by this. He did not see this coming. Apparently, when Atlanta was on the clock, they did give him a call at that point and make him aware. I don't think Atlanta, frankly, thought they were going to be in this situation. I don't think they thought that they were going to have this opportunity. I think, like a lot of us, they expected other teams to trade up and start hopping them and start taking some of these quarterbacks. So I think the Falcons sort of fell into this opportunity with Michael Penix, where they thought, you know what, we really like this kid and he's available to us. We didn't necessarily think he would be, and that's why they didn't give Kirk a heads up. But Kirk is upset over it. Do you think that's justified?
I think he has no right to be upset about any of this. All right, maybe it's not the most ideal situation for him personally, but he's not playing an individual sport. He's playing a team sport. And on top of that, this franchise that he's with right now, he's literally never played for them. He has never put on a Falcon jersey. He has never worn a Falcon helmet. Matter of fact, the only thing right now that the Atlanta Falcons actually owe him is the money they guaranteed to him in his contract. That's all they actually owe him. And I understand, I totally get what Chad is saying, because the whole distractions in a locker room with 53 guys and, you know, one quarterback doesn't play well. You do have the media. We see it all the time. The media is going around and they're asking guys, should this guy start? Should this guy start? And then you get some division. That is a very real thing. I totally get that. It's totally valid. But you're weighing two things here, right? You're weighing, should we draft a quarterback who we think can be our quarterback for 8 to 10 years after this current contract, or maybe even prior to this current contract to Kirk Cousins ending? Is it better for us to have the long-term future of having a quarterback, or is it better for us to make sure that a bunch of guys in our locker room don't get asked silly questions about a quarterback controversy? I feel like the former is much more important to the franchise, and I feel like there's no way in a few years from now, like if they decided, you know what, it's going to be a distraction, we don't want there to be a problem, we're not taking Michael Penix here, there's no way that in a few years from now, they, like, Kirk Cousins will be retired, they don't have a quarterback, and they're saying to himself, you know what, but at least we didn't have distractions in the locker room back in 2024.
Chad, can't they just say Kirk Cousins is our starter, full stop? Like, this is something that we'll discuss down the road. Michael Penix Jr. is going to be the future in Atlanta down the road. But Kirk Cousins, this season, if he is healthy, is our starter, period. We're not answering other questions about that. Wouldn't that sort of eliminate the distractions that this causes?
Well, as soon as Kirk Cousins doesn't play well, then that question is going to be asked again. And if it's 2 weeks in a row, it's going to be asked the next week. So this question is never going to go away. You can have your organizational Bill Belichickian moments. You know, we're on to Cincinnati. I'm not talking about this anymore. But the question is going to continue to be asked. And those questions penetrate the locker room. They do get in there. I've been a part of teams where there were those types of quarterback questions. And it starts to divide the locker room. There's one half of the locker room believes in this guy. The other half believes in this guy. Don't go out and lose two games in a row, because now those different factions within the locker room start to take sides and start to have conversations. Well, this guy should be playing. He'd be much better than this guy. I can't believe they're going to get this guy a start again. Those kind of things can rip the fabric of a team apart. Again, I understand the long-term possibilities of this, but this league is such a short-term league. There's a possibility Raheem Morris will not be the Atlanta Falcons coach when Michael Penix Jr. makes his first start for the Atlanta Falcons. So what good did it do him if that's a scenario that plays out?
Well, Raheem Morris did recognize that he wouldn't have that coaching position to begin with if they had a quarterback there in Atlanta. So quarterback is certainly something that they have to get right. And I think the fact that we keep saying the second Kirk Cousins plays bad, this is going to be a conversation, means it's likely then that people expect maybe Kirk Cousins is going to falter at some point, because obviously the counter argument to that is don't play bad. We saw Aaron Rodgers. He was inspired to have a couple back-to-back MVP seasons when they went ahead and angered him and drafted the young guy. So maybe old Kirk will get inspired as well. Coming up next here on Freddie and Harry, Chad Brown, Jonathan Zaslow, Amber Wilson filling in for the guys. Who won the first day of the draft? And who are the best available players heading into day two? That's all next on ESPN Radio.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I know you guys said that we weren't doing Love Fridays or whatever it is you normally do here on Freddie.
Love Friday.
With the sexy music. It kind of sounds like that a little bit, Devin. Sounds like you're still on those ones and twos in the Love Friday kind of mood. Amber Wilson, Jonathan Zaslow, Chad Brown hanging out with you here on ESPN Radio. We're going to get to why Chad Brown thinks that there was collusion on this radio show already today on this Friday. But we are reacting to the first round of the NFL draft. And for that, let's bring in some help from an expert, Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst, kind enough to join us here. And Matt, obviously, the topic from the first round, and honestly, it's kind of like the only big topic from the first round, because other than that, it kind of went according to plan, except for Atlanta. They saved us, Matt. They gave us all the content to talk about and get all crazy about all day long. What is your reaction to Atlanta choosing Michael Penix Jr.?
Listen, I know we live in a time where we don't want to disparage these young men who are being drafted. It's the greatest night of their life. And I love Michael Penix Jr., and I'm very happy for him. It's one of the worst draft picks I've ever seen in my life, honestly. Like, I have no idea what the Atlanta Falcons' thought process or plan is. And I've heard a lot of people that I really respect today try to put some spin on this and say, oh, well, it's this or that. Listen, you either messed up because you gave Kirk Cousins a minimum of $100 million. That's what's guaranteed. Or you messed up because you drafted a 24-year-old quarterback at number 8 overall. I don't see it. Like, your best-case scenario is that the quarterback that you just gave $100 million to plays for 3 to 4 years. And at that time, the rookie you just drafted is at the end of his contract. I know everyone's going to say, what about Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers? And they sat Jordan Love, and that worked out really well for them. I just don't know that taking an extreme outlier like the Green Bay Packers, 40 years of success at quarterback, and say, oh, yeah, we'll do that too. I have no idea how this team that has no pass rushers and no cornerbacks out. I mean, A.J. Terrell is a good player. They need another corner. I have no idea how you looked at the board and said, we better get a quarterback, when you just gave Kirk Cousins $120 million.
Matt, so like Amber alludes to there, that's obviously the big story today. It was the only real curveball of the first round. So if that didn't happen last night, and we have you on, Freddie and Harry, here today, and we say, what was the big story? What was the juiciest story from the first round? What would you have went with?
I think just the fact we had 14 straight offensive players drafted. We had a record, 22, 23 offensive players drafted last night. I think it was that, in a league where everyone is, trying to like copy Kansas City and copy San Francisco to some degree, we saw teams go so heavy on offense, which is funny because I would argue what really carried Kansas City through a point last season was the defense. And what really carried San Francisco points last year was the defense. And I think we even saw that in the Super Bowl. Dre Greenlaw has, kind of that freak accident, tears his Achilles. And, you know, the mood completely changed for San Francisco, and Kansas City was able to attack the middle of the field. So very surprised in a copycat league that we saw teams going so heavy on offense, but also, and not just with Penix Jr., but, you know, if Bo Nix at 12, like Brock Bowers at 13, like the Raiders just drafted a tight end last year, a really good one, and Michael Mayer. It felt like we had a lot of, I would say, luxury picks in the top 13 offensively.
All right, Matt, I want to go back to this Atlanta situation. Amber and Jonathan are beating up on me a little bit here because I look at the situation the same way that you do. The Falcons did not make themselves better. They did not improve their pass rush. They missed an opportunity to take care of something that could actually contribute to them next year. But when you hear these various reasons that people are giving and this various spin that is coming out this morning, what is the one bit of spin that you go, okay, all right, I'll concede that point? Does any of it make sense to you?
Not on the Penix situation. I think one team that is answering a lot of questions today would be the Buffalo Bills. You know, to switch picks with the Kansas City Chiefs, your bitter rival, and let them get the fastest player ever recorded at the NFL Scouting Combine in Xavier Worthy, and then to trade out again and let the Carolina Panthers get a wide receiver. You know, such a huge area of need for Buffalo at wide receiver after trading Stephon Diggs, watching Gabe Davis walk in free agency. Everyone in the world knows that Buffalo needed a wide receiver, and they moved back twice in order to let, you know, let teams get up in this wide receiver pool. So we'll see what Buffalo does at 33. I think they have a chance to change the narrative to some degree, you know, on what they've done so far, but they've got it. Like, somebody, you got to make picks. And I think right now you look at Buffalo and you're like, okay, like, are you guys, you know, there are players out there that are good players. And I know that they wanted to add some draft capital. They were able to do that. But, man, at some point you gotta make picks, and that's where Buffalo's at now. You know, they'll have three selections tonight. They've got to get some help at wide receiver. They've got to get some help at corner.
Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst, joining us here on Freddie and Harry. So, yes, there are, in fact, draft picks to be made tonight here, Matt, because everyone's acting like the draft is over after the first round. Buffalo, one of those teams, getting the criticism. They clearly weren't in love, I guess, with any of the receivers that were still available to them there at the later end of the first round. But in terms of Atlanta, why can't they address their pass rush need now? Why can't they find some secondary help in the second or third rounds of this draft?
They can. I think the difference is we have to look at each draft and say, like, okay, where are the drop-offs? And NFL teams call this, like, when your board is wiped out. And so you can look at the corner position. There's some decent corners that are still on the board. Pass rushers, we saw that get wiped out pretty heavy last night. I only have one pass rusher left rated in my top 70 players, and that would be Marshawn Nealand, who's kind of a developmental player from Western Michigan. So for those teams, you know, like the Raiders specifically, where we say, all right, you got to figure out some things on defense, they have three choices tonight, three selections tonight. So there is an opportunity to get those players, two selections tonight. There's some opportunity there, but tonight they have the 12th pick in the second round. They have the 13th pick in the third round. So I would argue getting the top corner in the draft at pick 13 and then getting this number two tight end tonight is a much better value than getting the number one tight end, which is not really an important position, and getting the number like six or seven corner tonight, or the number six or seven pass rusher tonight. This is a draft in which tight end is really deep in the third round. And again, not a position of need for them. And I know we all preach like, oh, best player available. To some point, you also have to think about at what point is best player available not really helping us? You know, like, you could say Atlanta did the same thing. Like, hey, y'all, you have a quarterback. Why would you draft another one? Oh, well, best player available. Okay, well, that best player ain't going to play, like, because you have a Kirk Cousins. And I think that's the question for the Raiders. Yes, we'll see Brock Bowers play. He's essentially going to be a slot receiver. He's going to be an impact in that regard. But it's the argument of, is even if he becomes a top five tight end in the NFL, is that more valuable than a player that could potentially become a top five corner or a top five pass rusher? And I think that's where we could say the Raiders at least went with poor positional value here.
Matt, J.J. McCarthy goes number 10 as Minnesota moves up one spot to grab him. Bo Nix goes number 12 to Denver. Which one of those has a better chance of succeeding right away?
Hey, I'm sorry, you cut out at the first. Who was the first player there?
I'm asking about J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix. Which one of them has a better chance to succeed right away?
Give me J.J. McCarthy. And I would say maybe more than anyone other than Caleb Williams, the system he's walking into. You have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson, two really good offensive tackles. They add Aaron Jones in the backfield. Like, we talk about like team building and infrastructure, setting the table for your quarterback. That's what it looks like. It's the opposite of what New England did, where they said, hey, like, we're terrible offensively. Let's figure out the quarterback first. And it might be some bumps and bruises for him until we can build around him a little bit. But for Minnesota, like, they have it all, right? They have the receivers. They have the play caller. They have the pass protection. Those are the keys when you're trying to build a team. Look at those spots first, and they've done a great job of doing that.
All right, Matt, looking back at the results of yesterday, give me your top three teams that were the winners from yesterday's first round.
Yeah, I would say the Vikings are definitely one of those teams. When to get J.J. McCarthy, to get Dallas Turner was a top 10 player for me. So you're getting a starting quarterback, and you're getting the number one pass rusher in the class. That's really good. The Chicago Bears, another one. I know they had two picks in the top 10. It's kind of hard to mess that up, but they did a great job. Like, not overthinking it, getting Caleb Williams, getting Roma Dunze. Like, that is how you build a team, in my opinion. I think another team that did a great job was the Los Angeles Chargers. To not overthink it, to sit there at five, they didn't overdraft for, a J.C. Latham. They said, hey, we're going to build the trenches. We'll take the best offensive tackle available. That is and was Joe Alt. So I give a lot of teams credit for not overthinking it, not, kind of galaxy branding things. The Cardinals are another team that did a good job. Two first-round picks, to get Marvin Harrison Jr., to fill a huge need with Darius Robinson. I think those are really smart picks.
Finally here, Matt, there's still a couple of these big-name quarterbacks that are still on this board, although the six went in the first 12 picks there. Who do you think is going early tonight in terms of quarterbacks?
I don't know that we'll see anyone go super early because the drop-off was pretty big. Spencer Rattler's the next best quarterback out there. But, the buzz on him wasn't like it was with Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr., where you really started to hear, hey, teams like these guys more than we expected. I still think the third round is probably most likely for Rattler. Maybe we see Michael Pratt from Tulane slide up into there as well. But it's going to be a light night for the quarterbacks. I think we'll see a lot more wide receivers, running backs, and players on defense tonight.
Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst. I know you're very busy this time of year, Matt. We really appreciate your time again.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks, Matt.
The 2024 NFL draft is on ESPN Radio, presented by ESPN Bet. Second and third round coverage begins tonight right here at 6 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations, and you can also hear it on Sirius XM Channel 80. Coming up next, we're going to open up the phone lines, 888-SAY-ESPN. We want to hear from you. What is your reaction to Michael Penix Jr. going to the Atlanta Falcons with that eighth overall pick? Plus, how do you feel about your team's first round pick? That and more, 888-729-3776.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
This is Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance, but it is former All-Pro Chad Brown, Jonathan Zaslow, and Amber Wilson filling in for the guys. You can find him at ChadBrown94. You can find Zaz at Zaslow Show. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. We're going to get to your phone calls in just a moment. 888-SAY-ESPN. You can give your thoughts on the Michael Penix Jr. pick by the Atlanta Falcons or the pick that your team made in the first round. Before we get to that, though, Chad Brown is alleging that there is collusion on this radio show. Now, Chad drew the short straw when they were working out the schedule this week, and I don't know if he knew that he was getting put with two obnoxious Miami Heat fans who, Chad, I don't know if you know, but Zaslow and I did do a local show together in Miami for many, many years. So Zaslow and I have been doing radio collectively now for like 9 years together, something really obnoxious and way too long. And because of all of that, you are now alleging that there's some collusion here, that Zaslow and I are ganging up on you. Explain.
I don't see any evidence of that.
There's 100% collusion going on. I've done my research, so I knew about your guys' history. But then as we are preparing for the show, the easy banter between you guys, it's like, oh, my gosh, here we go, the friends. And then as we're going over the rundown with Shannon and we're picking topics, it's interesting. You guys are on the same side of every topic, and I'm on the opposite side. So when we finally get to this conversation about Michael Penix Jr. and the Atlanta Falcons, of course, I'm on the opposite side of you guys. But Shannon, our amazing producer, has got all kind of sound bites cut. Terry Fontenot, he's got Coach Raheem Morris.
Yeah.
Those were played. Those sound bites were played.
Good bites.
Because they are bites that support what you guys are saying. The one bite that supports my take from Ryan Clark, the former player in the situation.
That.
No, that one was ignored. That one was not played.
I don't know that bite.
Clearly there is collusion going on.
Well, I am a lawyer, Chad, and one of the things that I've learned is you only present evidence that helps your argument. You do not ever present the evidence that hurts your argument, because don't worry, there's always both and plenty of it to go around. But fine, since you're alleging this, let's go ahead and listen to Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst, on Get Up, agreeing with Chad Brown.
If Kirk Cousins plays 3 years and Michael Penix is ready to be a star in year four, then at least you have your quarterback of the future. But what you don't have is an impact player that you could have gotten in the top 10 this year to continue to build this team that you went out and got Kirk Cousins to lead. Going to get Kirk Cousins was an opportunity for the Atlanta Falcons to compete right now. Was a chance for the Atlanta Falcons to win the South right now. And if you add a Dallas Turner, or if you add another impact position player, they also help you get closer to that. Essentially, you've used a top 10 pick for weight. And I think that's something that Terry Fontenot is going to have to answer for if Kirk Cousins plays 3 or 4 more years.
That's a weird soundbite.
Because of the point he was making, everybody wanted them to take Dallas Turner. Dallas Turner wasn't even the first edge that went last night. He went 17th. This was 8th that the Atlanta Falcons were picking. Dallas Turner didn't go until 17th there to the Minnesota Vikings. All right, let's get to your phone calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, you can weigh in on this subject, America. Bill is calling us from Nashville. Bill, thanks for the call. Go ahead.
I love this time of year with the draft. I'm going to share with you kind of my thoughts of why the Michael Penix happened. I don't necessarily agree with it, but Arthur Blank, he purchased the Atlanta Falcons early 2000s. You remember Michael Vick got drafted, left-handed, superstar, playmaker. I mean, those were glory years for Atlanta, even if they weren't winning the Super Bowl. And he who holds the purse gets to make the rules. And Arthur Blank said, I want Michael Penix. And that's it. And then all the minions have to just be, you know, saying, this is why we did it. This is why we did it, and everything like that. We'll see if it works out or not, but that's why it happened.
I mean, that might be true. Listen, I never fault an owner for wanting to make or have a part in some of the decision-making for a team that he quite literally owns. Like, it is his billions of dollars on the line. But it didn't look like that, actually, Chad, last night. Because there's a video of the general manager, and it looks like the GM is explaining to Arthur Blank why he made that pick right after they made that pick.
Because the pick didn't make any sense. Can you imagine being Arthur Blank and being told, yes, we need Kirk Cousins. Here's this deal we got to offer him, which is at the top of the quarterback market. 4 years, $180 million, guaranteeing this guy $100 million, and literally months later saying, you know what, we're going to draft our quarterback of the future. This guy's not going to be here very long. It just doesn't make any football sense, as Ryan Clark has said, as I have said, and I will just respectfully push back against you two colluders against me.
That soundbite was weird. I'm doubling down on that. I think there's a reason why we didn't use it. Weird clip.
I will say, though, that Arthur Blank, from everything I've heard from guys who have played for him, a lot of people speak very highly of Arthur Blank as an owner. And I will say, I think he deserves credit here, because you're a real one for being able to spend, or being willing to spend, $180 million on a quarterback with 90 whatever of that guaranteed over the next 2 years. And then also allowing your team to use the 8th pick and all that draft capital to get another quarterback. I feel like that, whether it's the right decision or wrong decision, no matter who ends up being right here, I do think from Arthur Blank's perspective, it shows an owner who is really willing and committed to go wherever that front office wants to go, and really believing in the people making that decision for that organization. So it certainly shows that. Triple H,
Why was Michael Vick, like, the point of the call I made, why was Michael Vick and Michael Penix Jr. being lefty relevant? Like, was he trying to clone Michael Vick?
Right, like, he liked Michael Vick, so he wants my, I don't know what that has to do with anything, frankly, but, you know, Arthur Blank obviously is showing that he's willing to spend on his organization and also still willing to try to ensure things for the future. Craig in Michigan is giving us a call. Craig, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, I didn't like the pick either, but the more I thought about it, I tried to rationalize it as if I did like the pick. Why? So what I see is they're telling everybody, hey, we didn't want McCarthy, and we damn sure didn't want Bo Nix. So we got to take this dude now, because if we trade down, we might not get him. We might get one of the guys we don't want. And so any time somebody says, well, you know, you didn't need that. I agree. But they got tired of playing with Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heinicke last year. And when you see that the Jets, ask the Vikings last year, shuffling through Nick Mullins, Hobbs, and Jaren Hall. Well, then ask the Niners. They got a guy in the NFC Championship that can't even throw the ball. So you can go way back to 2017. Aaron Rodgers, they start out 4-3. Brett Hundley comes in 3-6 the rest of the way. I mean, you have to have two quarterbacks in a 17-game season, soon to be 18 games. That's coming. So I think that right. They're just grabbing the bull by the horns.
Craig, we appreciate it. We're running real low on time. Listen, obviously they saw an opportunity here. I don't think it was the plan. I think if it was the plan, if they actually thought Michael Penix was still going to be available, they would have had that conversation with Kirk in advance. I think he fell there. We're going to continue with this conversation and head to Atlanta next year on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio. You can also listen to Freddie and Harry live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Freddie and Harry podcast.